Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear a voice here, a voice here, the thunder of cool, the feminine of the sun, reaching my threshold, staring at the streets of the blind. My body's stupid, stereo putrid, pouring out music, in the road to it, reaching my threshold.
Yo, 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 it's the finally here, doing it. The Black NPR, welcome, pregame radio. Everybody listening, everyone listening down the line, this will be the first show. I hope to really bring something new to the podcast space, not just people prattling on about their emotions and whatever else people do. My name is Daniel Kruda, Danny C. Some of you may know me from my Facebook shenanigans. You may know me from my Twitter shenanigans or my Boston shenanigans or assorted shenanigans. But this show, believe it or not, is going to be a shenanigan-free zone, or the very least, if shenanigans happen, they won't be planned shenanigans. Let's put it that way. What I would like to do every week is to kind of deep dive into some topics, you know, some heavy stuff, some light stuff, and kind of see where we go and what we're getting into. And, you know, the world's changing, and I feel like an informed populace is a engaged populace. And I feel like there's not enough information, not education in the world. There's too much, I think I know a thing or I assume a thing is true. I would like to have guests on from here to there, try to make sure that when people are tuning in that they have, you know, different inputs, you know, black voices, white voices, people who got things going on, et cetera. Normally, at this part of the show, I would do all the emails, the Twitter, all the housekeeping stuff, but because it's the first show, no one really knows what it's about. There is no housekeeping stuff, so I will kind of give you some insight to how sausage is made. The way I had envisioned this show, I was going to do a first show that was going to be about the end of the age of reason. That was going to be the concept of this show, this episode anyway. And that was 2 weeks ago when I went to the executive producers, the lovely Mimi Griffin, Brooklyn Bat, went to them and said I wanted to do the show, put it together. I put together an idea of what I wanted to do 2 weeks ago. In the interim, so many things have happened in the world that for me to stick to that premise would be ridiculous today. So I've revamped it maybe 18 different times between Kavanaugh, between Trump, between – hell, today's show almost was about how Trump got laughed at. Like, there literally been an hour and a half of me talking about how our president got laughed at by people at the UN today. But I was like, no, that's not a show. That's just me making fun of an elderly man, and that's not what I want. Because honestly, that would literally be the show every week. Like, I could do an hour and a half material on what Trump is getting into every week. I feel like that's not a show. That's really just me living out my my natural impulse to make fun of people. So what I did was I scaled it back. I said, you know what we'll do is we'll talk more about, like, did Cosby happen? And the wonderful thing about if you're trying to produce content in the year 2018 is that there's a constant stream of minutia and trash coming your way that you get to source your way through, pluck your way through, and kind of make some sort of heads or tails of it. We have a phone number. I want to give it to you guys. So if you want to call, you have any questions, or you want to engage, or you have an issue with some shit I said, which I'm assuming that this particular topic, we will. I will be calling people a task on the word female in this particular topic. So I'm assuming we're going to have some conversation there. And the number is 347-857-4302. I'll kind of get that information. Also, we have Twitter, which I tend to not be on when I'm doing this because I feel like spreading myself too thin because it's really just me. It's the Black NPR, Nancy Peter Robert, pod, P-O-D, @.com on Twitter. So get in there when I'm done. I'm usually there all week chatting and kind of tossing ideas around and so have you. So the other thing that's been kind of going on, I want to do kind of a light dive in terms of like what's going on here. With the whole Cosby thing, that's generally what the show's going to be about. We're going to be talking about Cosby. We're going to be talking about Kavanaugh, talking about rape culture, why some people seem to be so gung-ho to defend an undefensible position, kind of like with the idea also similar to what the original idea of this particular show was going to be about, which is the death of the age of reason, meaning that there was a time in the past where everything was done through religion. Everything was done through feelings and magic and the stars and the sun. And then at some point, people got together and said, no, we have information. We're running science. And people figured out that there's a way of doing things and there's a reason. And that was a golden age that we were supposedly still in. But then I've noticed just from my internet dealings that people in the world believe that some people believe the earth is flat despite there being pictures of it being round. In regards to the president going, this is the greatest our country's ever been, despite it being the complete opposite of that fact, so much so that the UN people laughed at him in front of his face, and then followed that up by saying to the, being like, hey, I don't know what they're talking about, everything's solid, and then having people believe them. So we're going to try to do a deep dive on both. Again, as a first show, trying to feel what works and what doesn't work, so you got to really bear with me here. This is a new thing for me because my impulse really is to just act the whole fool. So for me to kind of tone it down for y'all is something that I want to try and see where we can go. All right, guys? I bet. So the other thing I want to get in terms of this first 15 minutes, because this is where we would do the emails, blackmpr@outlook.com, Twitter responses, conversations. This will be filled with y'all guys' stuff. So if there's anything that you have to say, this entire time would be dedicated to you guys. And whatever time left over, we'll kind of do some quick hits. So in terms of quick hits, we've noticed that a lot of people, I've noticed a lot of folks were saying that they weren't going to be watching football this year, but I see that people are. And my quick hit opinion on it is that life is aggressively hard and not really fun if you look at it. So to tell someone flat out they can't do a thing based on the thing that's not going to change a thing, that's really hardcore. Now, if you don't want to watch it and you have a principle about it, I'm all bored with that. But I feel like if you're somebody who's going to try to make someone feel bad for a decision they made in their short, infinitesimal life, that's really low blow, not cool. Other thing I have noticed is that people are using rocks instead of deodorant. Now, this is more of a personal thing and not really in keeping with the tone of the show, but I figure we got some extra time.
Bruh.
9:15. Why did y'all, when did that become a thing when people just decided to smear the arms of rocks when there's perfectly good deodorant out there? Now, again, there's somebody who maybe listens to the show, her name is T, and she antagonized me and let me know, like, hey, you know, I'm using this rock deodorant. It's a crystal that doesn't have any chemicals and I'm not going to get cancer, which, again, I'm totally team no cancer, but I'm also team not smelling. I'm also team not using mystical mumbo-jumbo as opposed to something that actually works. Again, don't know. It's going to be a lot of that. So if you're someone who believes in a mystical arch, you believe in homeopathy, please call in. We're going to have some wonderful debates because that's something that really, to the life of me, not my scene, not fan of. Feel like there's better things you could be doing with your time and your money. Feels like you're throwing good money up the bad, etc. So we're going to speed down. We have some sponsors. Can you believe it? Oh, I'm coming up with a word. We got sponsors, some quality black sponsors, too. So that's a thing that tickles your fancy. We got that going on. So here we go. Give me a second. Boop, 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 boop. Sorry. Moving slow. First time. All right. For all your video production and photography needs, ME Productions. Hit them up on Facebook at ME Productions. MEPRODUCTIONZ, or email heyme, HEYME, .tv@gmail.com. Thanks for our sponsors over at LitBK, who the owner of LitBK will probably be on the show once or twice or a bunch. Put in customer code pregame with Lit for 20% off your purchase. And don't forget iCraveWear, that's iCraveWear. Check them out on Instagram at iCraveWear. And there's a website, www.icraveware.com. Put in a promo code pregame for 15% off your purchase. All right, guys? Support those guys because without them, I would not be in a position to do these things for you and address it. So let's get into it. First things first, talking about rape culture. We found out today that Bill Cosby, old Bill Cosby, is getting 3 to 10 years for systematically drugging and raping. What amount? I don't know who he got bagged for. I didn't get bagged for all 50 because he'd probably be in jail much longer, but he probably tried the ones they could get. And I feel that he's not going to do a day of jail. He'll probably do all this you know, Sturm and Drang to drag him around, do the photography, make sure he's in a position where he looks like he's suffering. Well, we got a caller. All right. 646-88. You're on. Get him in there. Also, producer Brooklyn Black, give him a round of applause.
Yep.
Hello.
Yep.
Who am I talking to?
First of all, Mr. Black NPR, I would just like to say I think that's racist that it has to be a Black NPR. Why can't it just be NPR?
Well, I'm Black.
Bruh.
And my producer is Black, and it's free, so it's public radio. So it's
Yo,
Black public radio.
Steele, Mr.
I know who it is.
And Brass, we cut our filming of Love, Peace, and Thunder because we wanted to show you some love on your preview, on your debut.
Yeah.
Thank you. These are my fellow radio mates over at Peace, Love, and Slander. I'm going to give you guys a shout out. It's opposite shows more. You can give, you know what? It's really early, but give a quick promo of what your show's about.
Oh, yeah. Lit BKNY right here. David Braff.
This reminds me of when
lit,
you watched.
I caught you saying Lit BK before. You got to put on the NY. People are going to get lost.
Very good. I'll do that on the next one.
I'm looking forward to the rape council discussion. I got my ears open. Love women.
All right, yeah, I'm about to get
women.
In. You call back when you feel triggered.
Wow. Word. That's what we doing?
I'm happy that Cosby got some time, even though I don't feel like he's going to serve it, but I'm happy that it's on record and it happened. There's a lot of people that are disappointed, but oh well. Learn how to fucking... Oh, wait, do you curse on your show?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, we black. All right, I got it. Hold on.
It's Mr. Earl Grey. Shout out to Danny, first of all. Like NPR, wish you much success. Shout out number two to Hannibal Buress making all this possible.
Yeah,
he did it. He took the slings and the arrows, and he didn't know how that was going to turn out.
Yeah.
Can I just say something real quick?
Let's get into a little bit. You know, while I have you guys on the line, we'll get into it a little bit in regards to there's a lot of people upset about it, and I wanted to conflate that with the Judge Kavanaugh bit in terms of Judge Kavanaugh did something a long time ago, and people are saying that. You know, he was a kid, he was whatever the situation is, and we need to let him pass. And I find that on this side, we got Bill Cosby did a thing, you got people, some of them in my office even were saying that it was a long time ago, why'd you wait so long, why'd you what have you, and you can't put a man away because of something he did a bunch of long time ago, you just saw dollar signs.
Since when you can't put somebody away for something they did a long time ago? Since when?
G. Depp walked into a police station and confessed to a murder 20 years ago. His ass got locked the fuck up. No.
Yeah, but the argument.
Did they say,
about
"Oh no, that was so long ago. We're not going to lock you up"? No.
Well, let me say, rape culture and the fact that you can do that to somebody, which is in essence a physical assault. And physical assault carries real time. You don't get like a 3 year to 10 years for hitting somebody. So
What I find right now is a lot of people, I don't know if you notice this, a lot of people are now referring to Kavanaugh, right? Before, they were referring to Weinstein. But because Weinstein is actually getting punished, it's like, all right, that's irrelevant now because he's getting punished. Now they're looking for somebody else to compare it to. So, like, somebody literally said yesterday, well, he's old, he's no longer a danger. Ask any CNA or HHA that's ever worked with a man that is old, if them being aged protects them from being sexually assaulted or molested. No. What the hell? People have.
So once you've done a thing, the argument is, and that is the general crux of what we're trying to do tonight, is get to the bottom of it. It's obviously not an hour and a half, but we're trying to get into the situation of why do we feel that it's okay for people to do a thing and then have people protect them so vehemently. And I wanted to put it up front as Kavanaugh and Cosby, because I want to erase race in this situation, at least just for the nature of this argument. I don't want that, because obviously there's a difference, you know, obviously the Central Park Five, but I want to keep them out. Because I feel like
dynamic, that's different. You're talking about people that are in a government structure versus somebody that is an entertainer as well. One is definitely going to have a little more...
Names, right? I have some stories that I wanted to kind of go into You have this guy up into there we go. You have this guy up in Canada named John Gamishi, Indian dude, who was out there he was out there taking bumps, but he would push it a little too far, and then when a chick would have an issue, he'd hook off on him. He'd like crack him in the back of the head. He did it multiple times. He would hit a dude in the back of the head. He hit the chick in the back of the head. Then there's another girl that he was with, she kind of gave it up and then kind of like wanted to, you know what, I'm not in the mood to do this anymore. And as you guys know, and anyone who's listening, if you're doing something and she says, I don't want to do it anymore, that is rape. And if you didn't know it's not rape, think back on it. You have committed something that's pretty gross. You need to put that in your memory.
Noticing is people don't care what rape is. They only care what they consider to be rape. Because that's usually
right
what I see
there.
That they are citing. Like, to me, no, you that's not rape. That's what I see like almost every day. This dude said back then rape was rampant. If you ask your father, you might be surprised. He probably raped somebody.
Wow.
So he's making it seem like it's nothing. I said, back in the day it was okay to marry a 12-year-old, but it's a crime now. And they think that they didn't wait to say anything. They've been saying stuff. They were ignored, and people were they refused to prosecute. They think that this lady just came up, woke up one day, and decided, I want to put Bill Cosby in jail. That's not what happened.
Lady, but it's 50 ladies.
All those ladies.
All those ladies. Now, even if one or two or maybe even 10 of them are full of shit or don't really know what's going on, that's 30 women around. The
they
argument
think that
is, why did
they're
take
like,
so
he
many?
Might have done one, but the rest of them are lying. Like, that erases his whole palate.
That's the argument tonight. It's like, why did it take so many women to get him to, in essence, go brought down to, the 3 to 10 years of time he's not going to get? It just was why, though. Like, what is it in our
society
of conscious
and
like that?
I think this is all my problem with this conversation is a lot of people that have opinions are not familiar on the actual facts of the case. They only have headlines that they've seen, and they take the headline and run with it instead of actually looking into the facts. Even some satire sites that they swear by that they think are real and have it, and they're adopting it as evidence. People need to, they think that
you're
it's all
NBC.
They think, outside of that, but they also think that he was on trial for all of these. He was on trial for one woman. The rest of the women were brought in to corroborate in a pattern. And the only reason why he's on trial for this one, that was in 2004 that this happened. So it wasn't even like
reason,
it was in
the
60s when it was
laid
so-called running rampant. This was in the 20, in the new millennium that this was happening.
It was active as 10 years ago.
Because I believe, again, that kind of rubs up with the other similar topic in terms of knowledge, right? So the fact that they said he's buying NBC, that's not a fact. That's not even remotely close to true. But if you ask somebody who's really not knowledgeable of it, they just assume it's true. And then when you say it's not true based on a factual statement, like, hey, I can tell you factually this is not true, they will look you in the face and go, well, that's your opinion.
Right.
That can't be how a society, in my opinion, like where do we get there? When did we as a society, and I'm not even talking about just America, I'm talking about the world, really, when did we get to a point where if I say this thing happened, 1 + 1 = 2, and then you could go, nope, that's your opinion, it's really 1 + 1 = 3, that's not viable. Right? I mean, I don't know. I'll throw it to you guys, and then
this is gonna sound real wonky and real politically and real nerdy, I guess. But I
introduce yourself, David.
Personally, I trace the whole thing back, and I look at Karl Rove. I know that's not a name that gets brought up anymore. I look at Karl Rove put the whole mechanism in place whereby facts don't matter anymore. Just say whatever sticks, throw whatever to the wall that sticks. Hope for the best and bet on people's ignorance and double down on that.
Someone once told me that truth is now defined as what the majority believes.
Yeah, it's always scary.
For the most part.
That's scary.
So I've been reading the original concept of the show was I was going to do a deep dive in that book, Bob Woodward book, Fear. So I've done most of it. So I'll sprinkle a little bits in here and there. So a big part of it was the Republican Party did not want Donald Trump. They didn't think he could win. They thought he was bad for him. But Bannon, believe it or not, was the one who said, we don't need for the world to think he can win. We just need to get a few people to believe he can win, and then everybody else will follow. But the funny part about it is that the veracity to which everybody said, I don't want this. This is a bad idea. we don't think he can win. He didn't think he could win. And they just convinced a few people and said, no, this is viable. And they said, let's not make it about him. Let's make it about her.
Right. I think I think Brass is going to spend a little bit more time with you while we're on break. But I just want to leave you with this another thing with the Cosby thing that people don't realize is, like, for example, one of his victims was Beverly Johnson, the supermodel. And a big part of what she said, the reason she never said anything, was because she did not want to be seen as one of those black women that were tearing a black man down.
Mm.
She didn't want to come off like that. So she felt like it was her duty to not add on to it. And she still got, you know, kind of shot on. And I think that a lot of people don't realize how many women hold on to certain things that happen by certain men for even, you know, your relatives or whatever, just for the sake of you having a good role model. You know, there's a lot of things that are kept inside. So I think that's something a lot of people don't realize.
There's a culture that we have. There's a huge culture of that where you have a real piece of shit father or grandfather, and then you're supposed to believe he's a saint because nobody wants to be the person who killed the family hero. But then when you find out about him, you're like, that person shouldn't have been even
shout
in the
you,
conversation.
Though, Danny and Black NPR. I'm going to sign off, but Brass still with you.
All right. See y'all later.
Yeah, man.
All right, Brad, you still there? All right, so let's get into
the
story a little bit. So we have number nine before we split and do more, I think. But here we go. There was another story that I looked at. There was a guy, a former doctor. He was Bill Cosby and his patients. You know what I'm saying? Like I tell you right now, he was out there raping a bunch of broads, really. He would sedate you with the gas. He would give you some dick. Guess how much time he got?
Oh, God. Less than Cosby?
Say his name.
Less than Cosby?
Yeah, he was a doctor. So he was a person, in my opinion, that should have a ethical standing that's far beyond a Cosby.
Right.
Even somebody had a duty of care.
Did he get a handful of months? They gave him a handful of months? I've heard of that happening.
No, they gave him a couple of years of probation and let him keep moving.
That's fucked up.
So this is a conversation that you and Branch were having. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on that, but in terms of women, I feel on some level that just because these are crimes perpetrated by something about our country and it's something about the way our system is set up, that when you are in that space as a woman, you really don't get afforded the protections as I do, as a dude, or you do, that you could be in a situation where some horrible thing like that could happen to you and the person doesn't get punished.
Oh, man.
Like a Brock Turner, for example, or
right.
Just and this guy, he's brown, or, you know, Bill Cosby, the thing that blew me away is we are all kind of, like, happy in terms of, like, this is a, you know, this is justice, finally, we thought he wasn't going to get any time. But if you really peel back the layers, he's only really doing three years or 10 years off of what was a systematic history of just doing horrible shit.
Now, the way I'm looking at things is this. Okay, so let's keep it 100. And whenever I say let's keep it 100, I'm getting ready to say some shit that people is just going to be like, oh, you're fucked up about. But
that's fine.
Point blank, sexual assault and rape are difficult things to prove. They're difficult things to prove. It's hard to prove, and it's even harder if time has passed. Having said that, once it's proven, that's some horrible fucked up shit that was done, and you need to pay for that shit. All this sympathetic, you know,
so
whatever towards people who
to like
invade women's bodies.
In that regard,
it's like,
should we at the very least, I'm not saying throw a nigga in jail, but on some level, if someone knocks me, if I go to your house, let's say, and then I'm like, and I walk out, and you feel like one of your mics is missing, right? You call the police and be like, this dude was at my house, one of my mics is missing, I feel he's the one who took it. The cop's not going to go, you sure? The cop's not going to want proof. He's going to be like, all right, let me talk to, like, they're going to assess it as, you know, like, not that I'm guilty, but, like, they're going to assess it as a crime that needs to be addressed in the case that it was given. there's no he said, she said element to me robbing you. Or if I was like, oh, I hit you, I'm square across the face, and then the guy, like, this dude hit me, and he goes like this, no, he wanted me to hit him. The cop would just arrest me. So why is that crime so subjective and every other crime so objective?
Because it's a perversion of a consensual act. Nobody consensually wants to be punched in the face. Nobody consensually wants to be robbed. It's
that's
a consensual
fair.
Act that's been perverted and taken advantage of by somebody who's fucked up. So the question becomes, well, was it the consensual version or was it the fucked up version? And that's what ends up getting weighed.
And that's the fair. That's the thing, is that I see it getting weighed ever. I see it getting quickly dismissed. I don't, you know what I mean? Maybe it's just me, but I see that to get it gets dismissed and addressed, and people get kind of given the short shrift. Now, that's where are you someone who believes in rape culture?
Pardon?
Are you someone, when people say rape culture, are you someone who's like on board with that, or do you feel like that's not a thing, or do you feel like that?
No, I don't like the term rape culture. Because
what word would you use?
I don't know. It is a semantic thing, but I do feel like the term rape culture implies that when somebody's raped, everybody else yay in this country. Like, you know,
see, that's the way. When I hear it, I'm thinking more along the lines that there are systems in place that allow for it to happen more often than not happen. Meaning that if you do it, there's ways to get a, the system is not set up to throw you into the street. The same way that we say it's a racist culture, and the fact that we feel like there's more systems than not for you to be racist and get away with it. I feel like if you're a rapist, someone will have your back your play as long as you follow the rules. So, you know, like how Kavanaugh is kind of follow the rules.
I don't think that's necessarily baked into the letter of the culture. I think that's people acting. Like, for instance, the laws of the land, just generally speaking, if people followed the law to the way that it's written in the books and all that, black people would have justice. It would be a fair country. It would be,
sure.
But people don't follow it. People do what they want to do. Yeah.
I mean, that's the general through line of this show here and that, like, just human nature. I feel like when people say, and this is going to go, I don't want to go any deeper than that, than this phrase, that when people say, like, on some level, like, why don't white people figure it out? Why don't they know? I always look at, like, when we have to try to convince the black people about gay people and try to convince why, and there seems to be a certain level of, like, why should I have never had to? You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's almost like I don't have – it's like it's easier to give an entitlement than it is to take one away, and I feel it's human nature to do that. So to explain to someone like, hey, these people are things like, well, they were fine last year. Why do we need to change our behavior in any way of shape or form? But again, that is a completely different show.
Right.
That's a whole series of show. I could do that show until I'm gray and old and still get nowhere.
Listen, these topics that you're tackling, you could go on to all these topics until you're gray and old. These ain't going nowhere no time soon.
But this one specifically, I feel weird. You know why I feel weird? Because I feel like having this topic as two men discussing it, I feel like that's like having two white dudes talk about race. But you know what? I want
to
at least get – you know what I mean? I feel like on some level I'm – my fear of – because, I mean, we can be raped. That's something that can happen. But it's such a different experience. It's not the same experience as going out with a lady – and feeling cool and giving you some level of trust, you know what I'm saying, where I feel like everything's going to be fine. And the next thing you know, I'm like, because this, I want to try to tie this to the Kavanaugh story, right? So she's cool and she's enjoying it. She's having a good time, and early she's there. And the next thing you know, she's in the middle of a fucking assault. This dude's locking doors, people holding you down. That's not going to be our experience. I think we're well aware for the most part. Like, if something was going to happen to you, you knew it was coming down the pipe well before it happened, and it's going to be a violent affair, and it's not going to be no one's going to, like, get your trust. It's going to be somebody who's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Someone's like a jail or a situation like that or something like that. It's just different. I think there they have a level of vulnerability that they have to kind of exist all the time.
True.
There's a certain vulnerability they have to have all the time. So I feel like for us to describe it, so I admit to every woman listening that I'm aware of the paradox of two men discussing that, but I feel on some level it has to be discussed. Especially
that's
too many
whole,
men today.
That's actually a whole other angle that I always talk about and I feel like should be discussed. And it's not for this show, but maybe at some other time you'll tackle it or whatever. Just that men and women live in two different worlds. And sometimes expecting men to see things from a woman's point of view is kind of it's not as simple as it seems because we've just as men
that
we walk
the
in shoes where
those right there
where we're cutting no slack for anything.
So at that particular show, I want to make sure that I because this one I really was playing fast and loose because I just want to just get a good feel for it. But that particular show was going to be researched to the hilt. I don't want to be out here hearing stuff. I want to be able to call because the other thing too to kind of go back to the beginning, the difference between this and like other podcasts, I want very clearly to have everything to be vetted. I mean, obviously not everything can be seen, but I want this to be very steeped in what's actually and not what someone feels. Because what you feel is fine, and I'll give a person that feeling for the most part, but I feel on some level we need to start dealing in some concrete facts. So you might be right in some ways in regards, because obviously men are cultured different. Black folk obviously are different, and you have the Irish and who are Italian and are similar to us in regards to the way that they were raised, and then you have Waukee people. So there's different ways of kind of looking at it, but I agree with you, right, into that regard. But this discussion has to be had because there's too many people having a discussion to the inverse saying that he was trying to buy NBC or how he didn't do it or he's too old or he didn't do it, they just want money. And they believe it wholeheartedly. And my argument is that these people are taking that information, internalizing it, getting very confident about it, and giving it to somebody else.
Well, I'm gonna say two things, and then I'm gonna tap out because I don't want to suck all the oxygen in your show on your first show.
No, no problem.
But as far as the age things, listen, they was nabbing Nazi offenders well into their senior citizen years. You was caught out there, you was doing some Nazi shit. They was nabbing you. Age didn't mean
shit. You did some shit. That's what it is.
Guilty of atrocity.
For all intents and purposes, rape is an atrocity.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
If we could say anything tonight, if you want to define it, I don't know if you listen to it, how you feel about it. If you take someone's agency away, there's no guarantee she gets that agency back.
Right.
If you try to do something and you push, there's no chance that lady's sense of security and freedom and safety comes back. And so that's
right.
An atrocity on my part. That's worse than killing somebody in some way because you're taking away who they were. But, Bet, it's been a pleasure, David.
One more thing.
Bet.
Stop. Not to you, but to people out there. Stop caping for Cosby. Fuck Cosby. He stopped being one of us a long time ago. Y'all forgot to fucking pull up your pants and walking in the street talking nigger shit.
All you wear is Jordan.
All you wear is all that bullshit. Fuck Cosby. I was saying fuck Cosby a long time ago before this shit came out. Fuck Cosby. Stop caping for him. You're not caping for one of us. That ship sailed a long time ago.
And can we add
ago.
Another point to this? Even if it was Tiasi Coates and he did this shit, you got to let him go. You got to let him go. Just because, yes, I mean, I agree with you, but then we'll add to that. Even if he was one of us, you got to know when you're fucking up the brand,
right,
B.
Right.
Yeah. But specifically, though, no. I get what you're saying, because he wasn't fucking with y'all.
Right.
He was
anyway,
missing respectability politics,
again on your first
and
show.
Y'all weren't invited.
Congratulations again on your first show. I'm tapping out. We're going to get back to taping the show.
All right, man. Be good.
All right, man. Take care.
All right,
later.
Later, Dan. Later. What's going on? So, yeah, we're going to have calls. You can call. I let you go as long as we don't have any other calls and you're bringing something viable to the show. I'm not adverse. We really don't have too much of a format other than I try to do every half hour, hour, and try to get something. And we have generally a big topic, and we have a slighter one that kind of could, the first one will probably be really heavy and really aggressive. You know what I'll do, though, again, just because we're first time out and they were just on the phone, that was the owner of LitBK. That was our sponsor. So I'm going to read the sponsorship again. So I want to make sure that you know what they have and things. So M.E. Productions, that's P-R-O-D-U-C-T-I-O-N-Z, for all your video production and photography needs. Hit them up on Facebook at M-E Productions or email heyme.tv@gmail.com. Thank you to our sponsors over at LitBK. The website is litbkny.com. Put in the customer code pregame is lit for 20% off your purchase. And don't forget iCraveWear. Check them out at Instagram at iCraveWear and their website, www.iCraveWear.com. Put in promo code pregame for 15% off your purchase. And if you guys have anything you want people to kind of, you have something going on, you have a show, you have stuff that you want to promote, let us know. Not needing for sponsorship, but I also like the idea of each one help one. So if you got something that you want to kind of add to the mix, please let us know. So let's get into this Kavanaugh thing. I want to make sure that we give him the due spirit. We talked about Cosby. And then the next conversation, about 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking about the top three hip-hop artists after 2010 that old heads need to pay attention to. But let's get back to Kavanaugh. I feel very strongly about the way that these really old and really white politicians are being very dismissive. And now I have my own issues with it, right? So I don't like the fact that she is being real animate, like, I need the FBI involve themselves if I could do something. Now, I get it. I understand it. But it makes you look like an operative in a way. So there's a way maybe she could have said it. Again, man talking about this issue. But I felt the way that they were being dismissive, or what the senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, said, where he more or less said, whatever she says, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still sending this guy through. Or Orrin Hatch from the one thing you will learn by the end of the show, all your senators, all your congressmen, you're going to know your Lisa Murkowski, you're going to know your Susan Collins, you're going to know your Elise Coronos, you're going to need all of them. But yeah, you got Orrin Hatch out in Utah, whose oldest day is long going, yeah, believe him, I don't trust anybody that's able to come to a complete and honest opinion without hearing the other side first. If you talk to me, and I hear you, and I'm like, I got you, and I don't know the other side of the story, how am I able to make any type of honest opinion or conversation? You know what I'm saying? How? I don't know. And I feel like they're so gung-ho to kind of get this guy in. And the reason behind that, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but there was a Republican, a think tank situation where they realized that most of the power happens for the Supreme Court, meaning that the Supreme Court set up a certain way, they could put their laws through and not have to worry about those laws being turned over on the back end. And what they were noticing, that they were putting in tons of Supreme Court justices, the Roberts of the world, the Kennedys of the world, that were law guys, you know what I'm saying? So even though they may have Republican or conservative leanings, at the core of them, they were law guys. So if somebody came and said, hey, this is unjust, they would make a point of it, like, all right, it's unjust, like the gay marriage thing. It just makes no sense on its face and be done with it. But what they realize, that if we can groom the lower court, find guys that are not so much law guys, someone who believes ideologically with what we're doing, and feed them throughout, put somebody in there, we'll have somebody that we're going to know what we're going to get, and we can put whatever we need to put in and don't have to worry about being surprised when they vote for gay marriage. That's where we're at now. This guy, Kavanaugh, is the outcome of a 30-year process of seating the lower courts, the state, city courts, for people who they felt would be ideally their type of guy. Now, the issue with that is that this is a lifetime commitment. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. This is a lifetime commitment on that court, meaning that if we find out after they put him on there that he was out here slapping people with his dick in the face over and over and over again, there's really nothing we can do because he's got a job for life, which is ridiculous on its face. But that's why people are being very aggressive to try to keep him out of there. As the guy before, I don't know if you remember, whose name I cannot recall right now, you don't remember all this sturm and drang. Nobody was trying to keep that guy out. nobody was fighting it because, I mean, they were fighting it, but there was no huge push to, like, all right, we don't have this guy in. The only thing people were upset about the fact is that Merrick Garland, that was the Democrat, the one that Obama had put on, they held that up until they got to put their own guy, which always boggles my mind how well the Republican Party is at managing that type of stuff and how bad the Democratic Party is at that type of stuff. They don't seem to have any real understanding of how to maneuver. They only seem to win or be in good positions when the Republicans really fuck things up because they got well too ahead of themselves. So Kavanaugh's out there, and this is to give you the backstory, but a lot of the big issues here is that someone flat out said, hey, I got 8 years worth of, like, I talked about this with a marriage counselor 8 years ago. We need to at least, at the very least, talk about it. The Republicans are not allowing it. The reason that I'm bringing this up during the rape culture conversation or the conversation about rape, the conversation about information doesn't mean anything anymore, is that we know for a fact that he's problematic. And then another person came out, and the craziest shit about this is that that new person, the Hernandez person that said in Yale, he like pulled his meat out and kind of waved it in front of her face, is that's why now the Republican Party is getting more aggressive and more, some level, the only reason these people are showing up, the only reason that these people are showing up is to keep him from being installed. Not that he's a problematic sex monster, but because he is somebody who's incapable of keeping his meat in his pants. Also, I think, now this is just my opinion, that he is Hispanic, she is Hispanic, and I think on some level they're going to let it go, so I don't know. But my argument here is, and then you guys can call in for sure. Let me give you the number again. I'm kind of let go with that. 347-857-4302. Again, the number is 347-857-4302. Please call in if you have to ask questions, talk, you have an aside, whatever, get into it. But I feel on a level that she is going to go up there and she's going to say all these things, and like, he pinned me down. He was drunk, he was what have you, he was in high school, all these things. And they're going to just go, and they're going to ask him all these awful fucking questions. But the argument is that no matter what she says, she could literally have, unless she has a photograph, a Polaroid of him literally doing it, it doesn't matter. We're going to give this guy a lifetime job. For what amount, like, I know for me tomorrow, if I'm at work and some chick comes into my job tomorrow and says, hey, when we was in high school, this dude tried to, like, you know, take some box with his buddy watching the door, I'd get fired. I'm not – I don't have a job that is responsible for all the laws in the United States of America. I'm just a dildo that pushes security guards. So I'm in no position to do anything of any meaning in that regard. This dude could change your – I don't know how much you guys know what's at stake here, because I know a lot of people kind of are peripheral with this. This is somebody who is anti-abortion, and this is something that – so when the states say – so generally what's kept the states that don't agree with it in check is that you'll say, all right, we fight it, get to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court generally goes, all right, guys, come on now, and then they got to reverse it. But the states will do a thing. And the idea is that the Supreme Court will turn it over. Now, if this guy's here, it's not a guarantee the Supreme Court's not going to turn it over. Even go as far as saying that Roe v. Wade might get overturned. It's something that they're really worried about happening because the guy that was keeping that in check is gone now. And the guy they're putting there is super Catholic, and he's more or less being brought in to turn that over because for whatever the reason, the government really gives a shit about abortions for some reason. So that's a lot of the reason why people are making a big stink about it and saying, like, hey, why you can't do a thing, and especially in terms of, like, the rape of it all. Like, as soon as I found out that he had waved his meat in front of that lady's face, I was like, oh, he must be done. But the same reason I thought that Donald Trump was done when he grabbed that chick by the pussy, why I thought Bill Cosby was done after the second person. It takes so much to get these people out the paint. And that, in my opinion, because David didn't like the wording of it, is rape culture. Well, Larry Williams in the chat, that's lit. What's going on, Larry? Chicago's Larry. But, yeah, and also in terms of, like, states, I'm curious to each person's opinion is of it. Like, I really would love to speak to someone anonymously right? Somebody who was anonymous that had a concept of it, like who didn't believe it. Somebody who, not raper, but somebody who had that type of tendency, who felt like we were blowing things out of proportion. I wouldn't blow them up to fuck your whole situation up, but I would love to speak to you and kind of get a general idea of what makes you feel it's okay, what your situation is. Because I feel like the only way you really get to the bottom of these things is when you talk or get an answer or speak to somebody. So we're going to find out what Larry's saying. You could ask, if you could ask him questions or what have you. So we'll figure that bad boy out. So you got to give me some time. It's brand new to this. But, yeah, so, yeah, we have on the site that you went to listen to it on pregameradio.net. We have a chat there. I tend to use the chat on the on Facebook. It's easier for me to kind of to finagle around it. But, all right, let's name a moderate. It's Cool Beans. Let's get back in here. But, yeah, it's going, Larry, in the chatty. This week, in terms of the fair book, you know what I'll do is, because I can't do the whole thing in one shot, obviously, because it makes no sense, really, because it's such an old book, but I feel like it'd be interesting to give little interludes. So I've been reading it for the last maybe couple of days. It starts out in the beginning of the campaign and kind of like when it starts to be falling apart. And I think, like I'm saying to Allie and Ernie, is that a lot of the book stems from the fact that they really didn't want him there. They felt that he was into the racism, the populism, all of that stuff wasn't a good fit for what they were trying to do, which was to go closer to the, believe it or not, the Republican Party was trying to get closer to the center because they felt that after Obama, that would be the way to go. So if there was no Trump, I find that no matter who would have won the election, it would have been a better situation for all of us because everybody was trying to get closer to a center as opposed to further down the damn line. And then Bannon came in and more or less told him, hey, we can win this shit if you just stop talking about you and what you're going to do and start talking about how old, fragile, and bullshit it is. And then there was a line in there which goes to the general topic, the secondary topic in terms of the death of the age of reason, which is there's a hidden, they call it hidden Trump voters, as someone who would normally vote Republican. Somebody on the line, all right. Black, we got a caller real quick. Give me a second. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I don't know why you can tell us. It's a 718. You got a 718 in there, Black. Put him through.
Hello?
Anyway, yeah. Hello?
Hey.
Hey! It's Sean L.
You don't know my number by heart, you fool. You call me twice a day, you don't know my number.
I can't just say your number on fucking air, so we can just call you. Come on, my nigga. Be real.
My number is.
You don't have to deal with this shit. To be fair with you, Harry Gross don't got to deal with this shit, my guy. Michael Barbaro don't got to deal with this shit, my guy.
That's because Michael Barbaro is a king.
Ain't he though? Ain't he just?
I am king.
Well, so what's your opinion? Because you had let me know prior that you got to get a little better service area. But yeah, let me know what your situation is.
No, can you hear me okay, or am I fucked up? Like, am I okay? Do you want me to move to another room?
Another room. You sound a little dusty.
Oh, okay. Let me pump up the volume and go in another room. How about now?
Pump up the volume. All right, better.
Okay. So I just wanted to give you a little more information about the Kavanaugh thing.
Okay.
So, you know Michael Avenatti, the gentleman of Stormy Daniels fame, who basically kind of brought Stormy Daniels to the forefront and let us know, like, what all was going on with regard to Stormy Daniels and
potential presidential candidate, Michael Avenatti.
Yeah, yeah. Also a very beautiful person. So
in
Avenatti,
real life?
No, looks-wise. People have said he's very beautiful.
Okay.
So the deal with Avenatti is that last night he did make a statement that he had a third credible against Kavanaugh, where Kavanaugh and Mark Judge, the guy who's hiding out in Delaware, because you know Mark Judge is the guy who...
Mark Judge is the guy that was, he was a lookout guy. He was the one who was in the room and told more or less the, if you watched Requiem of a Dream, he was the ass-to-ass guy. He was the one who was girding it on.
Yeah. So... The story ratcheted up, whereas in the 80s, once they were adults, out of college and he had lost his virginity, they were at parties where they would, and this is their word, not mine, run trains on drunk and high women at townhouses in Georgetown. And he posed 5 questions to the gentleman from the Senate Judiciary Committee, basically stating, mm-hmm. will you ask Kavanaugh the following? And the first question was, were you or have you ever like attended parties where women got drunk and then you guys had sex with them? Have you ever participated in a train? Have you participated in a train with a woman who was incapacitated? So his questions were super specific. And the idea is that he's inferring at this point, I don't know because I haven't turned on the TV or checked Twitter in a couple hours, he's inferring that there's a little bit more to it. And I just wanted to go back to your point about rape culture and just to kind of put a finer point on it. The yeah. idea sexually violated is just par for the course if you're a female. And I'm using female, and, you know, I don't really like that word, but if you are a female in any way,
but
shape, or form.
But in instance, I think it makes sense. I think it's yeah, you are being stripped,
child,
of, you're stripped of your humanity.
Sure. If you are a female, you know, female, cisgender female, trans female, if you are
Oof,
in any way, shape, or form
we need to have.
Presenting as a female, it is okay for men or males to take sex from you. Or
that is true. That's a true point.
Thank
you. I didn't even think to say that. Because if you are a man presenting as female, you are very, you're just as likely to get raped, if not more, because as soon as the person finds out, they get very angry about it.
Yeah. And the idea that, and this is not just men, but women too, is almost like, well, that's just part of being in high school. When I watched that 57-year-old white bitch on, white people, but that bitch on CNN, basically say, well, he was in high school and kind of shrugged her shoulders, like it's okay to like try to take pussy in high school. That's the rape culture. The idea
that
that's just what happened
to me, because that's the part that where I will add rape, because you know I tend to not, but I think that's where I will, because that same 16-year-old kid, when they were still being kids, dudes will get. Remember Patrice O'Neal, the comedian? He couldn't leave the country because kids are being kids. If he was in a room during a train,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, agree or disagree, gross or what have you.
I know what you're saying.
Followed him. Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, so the thing of it is that's the cult, the idea that stuff just happens because boys are boys. Or, you know, the idea about, like, if you go to a frat party and you get drunk and then they decide that you are the fucking entertainment for the night, well, you know, that's just how boys are. It makes male boys way too long. It takes away the fact that you can control yourself. Just because your penis is hard doesn't mean that you have to stick it into someone who doesn't want it inside of you. But for whatever reason, mm-hmm. we make it okay for when a person's got a hard dick to be totally out of their mind. Or if they want to get their dick wet, then they just get to do whatever kinds of manners of violence that's okay because, well, they were a kid or, well, they were drunk or you're a hoe or, you know, you shouldn't have been there, or you shouldn't have been in that basement by yourself, or whatever. Also, I think some of these women blame themselves for their sexual assault, so they then attack other women who have been assaulted, whether it's a small assault or a big assault. And everyone's built differently, so one woman can be held down and not be penetrated and raped, and could ruin her life. Another woman can survive rape and be okay, but it doesn't change the fact that violence occurred, and I think that's a huge problem. It's a major problem.
His argument is that he's a virgin.
He was a virgin, but
so,
you know,
laughable because
he was
that's
trying
not
to not be
it.
A virgin. That's why he was.
Yeah, he was trying
dick.
He was doing the best he could to make the fix that problem, but the fact that he's going like I didn't achieve it. If that's what made me, like, if you ever thought that he didn't do something, that was all you needed.
And another
like,
thing
oh,
that you want to look at, too,
bird.
Danny, I'm sorry to cut you off because I know you probably have other callers, is
because you're bleeding into the next conversation about the hip-hop, so you're here. You're good.
Okay, so his other friend, him and his friends, in their yearbook, there's this, they basically call themselves, like, a Renata alumni, and Renata was a girl that they knew. And they were basically trying to infer in their yearbook quotes that they all fucked this girl. And the lady, until now, the lady didn't realize what that meant. And she was like, that's fucked up. but then she was like still trying to make excuses for them and say, well, you know, that doesn't mean he shouldn't be the Supreme Court justice. There are people who just slighted me in life that if I could make it so that nothing ever good could happen to them again, I would do it. You fucking
That's a lifetime job. That's
yeah,
the shit
it's a
that
lifetime,
I don't get.
Which,
is that it's a lifetime
I
also job.
I
don't
think he needs to go to 30 years at this point. Yeah. So long. Lifetime, the lifetime
sure.
appointments is a waste of time in 2018 because we live in
Any
the future.
Any job that's a lifetime job is fucking bananas because at some point you're not going to give a shit about your job no more. Trust me. I've had a job for 3 years and was like, fuck this place. Because at some level you're like, I don't need to because what you going to do, fire me? You know what I mean? Or you get old or you get tired or your heart's not in it anymore. Also, this
and
job
the other
is not
thing,
meant to be political.
I just wanted to
tell
you about the anti-abortion thing after I watched that documentary Reversing Roe. A lot of this anti-abortion stuff is rooted in racism because it's rooted in a type of Christianity that's practiced, that was really practiced as separatist Christianity post Lyndon Johnson's Civil Rights Act stuff. So that's what a lot of this is about. So like I know
there's an understanding. What's the understanding that if you out there have an abortion, that is less white people? Is that the argument? I'm hearing it. So okay, yeah.
Yes.
Never lose attraction. All right, well, I don't know why I thought you were going to bring that. All right, I have a stat here that in terms of the minority majority, do you know when the minority majority, you know what day, what year that's supposedly supposed to be happening, or the year that we have estimated? Minority majority more or less means that when you add up all the minorities, it's as a group, we're more than white people. Do you know what year that's going to be?
Isn't that 2025?
No. That's when it's going to be comparable. When it's going to just be objectively more is 2045.
Okay.
Objectively. Like, it's not like it's going to be in the conversation in 2025. But I think once it becomes just an overwhelming fact that it's more, that's why I always make the argument that we as a people need to kind of figure this shit out together because we're going to be more than them. But that's neither here nor there. But yes,
yeah,
right.
But that's,
so you're saying that.
So what I'm saying to you is just that, you know, what they pick up from other minority Christian groups who feel like, oh, I'm black, I'm a Christian, I'm against abortion, that's just gravy for them. The real deal is a lot of these, because a lot of the states where if Roe gets overturned out of the running, a lot of those states are what are considered like Bible Belt states anyway, which if you look at it for what it is, a lot of them tend to be states with a lot of white folks. Tend to be very Christian states, not a lot of diversity, or states that have issues with the fact that black people can speak out loud now. So
yeah,
I think that, and as a black woman who is very pro-choice, I think if a woman wants to terminate a pregnancy, that's up to her. That's not my business. I'm not here to stop you.
The problem is that she's going to no matter what. And that's the story
the
that
truth.
Never gets told. That's the true fact. That's the button to this, is that when it gets overturned, the reason that existed in the first place is that, and my grandma's aggressive by saying the reason that there's even a law is that when white women started going to alleys
and dying,
they needed to have a law in there because, but that's going to happen again. But the thing is that,
and I think I saw a stat that the number of women,
I think I saw a stat that
the number of women who choose to terminate has been a steady about 1 million for decades. Now, that could also be adjusted for the fact that there's a lot more birth control options out there.
Which will probably be gone.
Yeah, that's the other reason why you have to really look at this Roe thing. Kavanaugh called birth abortion medicine. This man is supposed to be so smart he went to fucking Yale, and he doesn't know that the birth control pill does not cause an abortion, neither does Plan B doesn't cause an abortion.
Right? And we could tie this to rape culture. It's all rape culture. I mean, it's all just toxic masculinity, but in regards to abortion, that's a Catholic thing. The understanding is that when you take the pill, the idea of the pill is to keep pregnancy. The idea for sex is sex leads to pregnancy. But they only have two kids, and they've been married for years and years and years. So what's going on?
Right.
Right? So it's not like he's letting off every night. And even if you're pulling out, you got more than two kids. Trust me. So they're doing something. But that question is never asked. The question is never put up and asked.
Right, because we don't live in the time of Game of Thrones where something so unseemly would be said in public, but it's true. You're not being fruitful and multiplying, you know, like.
You got two kids and you're old.
There's a lot that needs to be looked at. Sorry. And I don't really know what else you want me to discuss, but that.
That's it. We're going to put a button on it. Thank you, because I'm feeling real bad that we have this conversation. But this conversation, you can start off this conversation with me, and then you can kind of dip off. It's only for the next half hour, final half hour, we're going to get into the lifestyle thing. Generally should be more lighter, because we're going to be talking about some real heavy shit in the front end.
Well, sure. You probably need to talk about something, because I just dropped the bomb that the anti-abortion people
always, but I already put that in there, which is
they
I
hate the black.
Our conversation. They do hate the black. To a certain
they hate
degree,
the black.
Down there.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about hip-hop.
Kavanaugh doesn't
people like
believe
hip-hop.
In immigrants' rights, too. He doesn't believe that the people of Hawaii and the people of the natives, he doesn't believe that in, like, native protections and doesn't want to give the natives of Hawaii the proper protection that they're due. This motherfucker's terrible. Get him the fuck out of here. The only reason
why
Trump,
they're trying to push
Trump
him
wants
through.
Him.
He's the one, the Federalist Society. That's what they felt, that every time they put a person in, when it was time for when the rubber hit the road, they would side on law, and they don't want law. They wanted someone who sided on, like, would make the law fit their ideas, as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah,
and
Trump
this is what it is.
Prosecuted when Robert Mueller finally drops the hammer, if he ever fucking gets off his ass and does it.
I want to have that to the full hour conversation about what we know, what we think is going to happen, that sort of thing. Yeah. Have a round table, but that is neither here nor there. But let's get into some hip hop. Everybody just hip hop. Which you're a big fan. I would say the person I know who likes hip hop the most, who's the most knowledgeable of it, is you. Yeah, it's you.
Yay.
I'm all right with it. More multifaceted, but I enjoy hip hop as well, especially this one. The conversation tonight is we felt that these, when I talk to people my age and our age group, I would say what we refer to as Generation X down to Millennials, the Millennials with this X, which I think is a perfect answer to what we are. They feel very locked into the 90s, Jay-Z's of the world, the Biggie's of the world, what have you, and they pretty much shut down completely at everything that happened after. And I feel after 2010, I mean 2010 is a dividing line, there were some quality hip-hop guys that came out. So I want you to come up with whatever your top 10 or top 3, the top 3 or top 1, that you did some why and some songs some people should check out.
We talked about Logic, and you know how I feel about him, aside from the fact that, you know, people get on him.
People seem to not like Logic. I find Logic, in my opinion anyway, not the newer stuff, because he seems to be leaning into pop, and that's fine. Make your money, black man. I mean, do what you got to do. But before he became the guy who was at the, was it the Grammys? What was that? What's that shit called? MTV Awards. That's more pop, but like his Metropolis stuff, his Fadeaway stuff.
Yeah.
When he's with the Rat Pack, I feel like he has a general understanding of line structure, production. His beats are really good. He seems to really blend well with it. His mixtapes.
He builds on projects. He has like the conceptual album where they're
the space one
so
where
they're
like flying with the guy who plays.
Yeah, I love that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
it worked.
I loved it, and I really had only heard him be interviewed on a podcast, and was like, "Well, this is an interesting story. Let me see what his music sounds like." And I was impressed, and I appreciated it. Now I'm gonna tell you, I'm not really a huge fan of the Littles. I don't really fuck with the Littles, but I would say that boy I told you about from Harlem, he has a good song.
Obama.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. And did you say Travis Scott's too?
I mean, not for me, because I'm looking at more, like, I'm thinking, like, Vic Mensa and, like, first album, Vince Staples. But, I mean, Vince Staples really had it going, and Vince Staples really just was like, I'm out, fam. Like, Vince Staples really had a thing going with that first album, and then just decided to turn into to pop music, which, I mean, whatever gets you there, but I felt like he really had a thumb on it, because I saw him at Panorama, and I thought it felt like I was like at a concert in the 90s. It really had that energy there.
Do you think that Vince Staples' issue is he's from, because I've listened to him talk, seems like he's just trying to have a good time. Do you think that maybe the environment that he came from, he's just looking for some fun?
Yeah, again, yeah, for sure. Because the difference between back then and now, just my opinion, is that back then you make music in the hood, you stay in the hood. Like, if you listen to the Nori podcast, which we have, these dudes mm-hmm. literally were making music and living the same lifestyle, just it hit, you know what I mean? It didn't change. And I think nowadays it's not like that anymore. So he probably was like, you know what, I did this album, but now he's like around, you know, the girl who's dating Elon Musk, and those guys like living in that world. He's like, you know, why should I go back to making hip-hop music? That's not even the world he's in anymore. He probably like, I don't even know it like that anymore, so why am I talking about it?
Mm.
He makes, like,
you know,
new house clubs and stuff like that.
Well, you know, I like Cardi. I know people have their issues. I fuck with Cardi, the Gangsta Bitch mixtape. I fuck with her. Cardi,
yeah. I mean, but a lot of people hate Cardi. Like, specific people really hate her. And why do you think that's the case?
Because they remind them of their first girlfriend. I don't know.
Well, that's an interesting line. That's interesting as fuck.
I don't know what the
problem.
But
this is such an hatred for her, and I'm like, I could say, going like, I don't like the music. I could see that. I mean, she's fine. I have no issue with it. But I could see, like, oh, I don't like that music. I get it. But, like, this seems to be a visceral, she's the reason music's trash now.
Actually inaccurate. If you listen to, yeah, she's kind of got, like, an interesting way of delivering her rap, but it's consistent. She uses a lot of words, which is what people complain about, especially, quote-unquote, older people. She has song structure. It's not just a hook. It's not just reverb. She's giving you, whether it's bars that have been helped or bars that she wrote on her own, she's giving you songs, and she's telling stories. Like, she's always telling a story. She's always making a statement. What I appreciate that Cardi is doing is that she is on the pop charts without trying to make pop music. That's what I like about Cardi B.
That's exactly right, because the issue I have with Vince Staples is that it seems like he's actively trying to make pop music.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of the feeling of, like, he's doing a thing. And I don't think Cardi's doing a thing at all. She just goes to the studio. Remember, I think we had a conversation about this, and I'll include the audience because it feels like we're just having a conversation, which is really fun. Feels that is doing a thing, right? And I feel like there's a lot of people who are going to be coming out after Cardi. And I remember I said, this girl's got next. But they don't because I heard her music, and the difference is that they skipped the part that Cardi did, where she put in all that effort to be a person in our world in terms of being online, being on these shows. So when she finally did the music, it was like a buddy of ours doing music. Like, oh, good for her. Everyone's skipping that part and jumping right to, you know, being silly online for like a month and then dropping a nonsense song. It don't work. Like the Moo Girl, for example. That Moo Girl been making music for years.
Yeah, well, that's the crazy shit
about it. She's been making money for years, but then she tried to just jump on board, and it feels like you're doing a thing. And as Nicki's finding out, nobody wants you doing a thing.
Okay, what's your question? This is an aside, but what's your question about if you really think that you're going to start to pop cleaning up your Twitter? This is something that's been on my mind. If you're a person who is living in post-2009 and you aspire to go somewhere and do a thing, what is, before you get where you're trying to go, what's your thought process about just cleaning out your Twitter, just going through it from the first tweet all the way back and just maybe making a little search?
You can't do that because they're going to, I mean, if it's really bad, they're going to find it. You know,
how?
Like
if no one knows you right now,
oh,
you
and
could
delete
potentially,
it.
Yeah, just
oh,
get
I
it
get
off.
What you're saying. I mean, yeah, if you really, but you have to have such a faith in yourself. Like, remember when the girl from Saturday Night Live, they got that first Spanish girl, and then within, like, a week, there was, like, she was on here talking reckless about black people.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't, like, being racist, but she was, like, telling bad jokes, and they found it. So you would have to know that you were doing it. I have no problem with that.
But
you don't want to lose your career over some shit.
If you're trying to really do a thing, why aren't you thinking strategically and cleaning up your Twitter so nobody gets you out of the paint?
Why does someone do that? Does someone do that and get in trouble?
No, it's just that people always, I'm a cowgirl, got basically taken out the paint behind these really stupid tweets that she wrote.
Oh,
and just didn't, you know what I mean?
I forgot about that.
The homophobic tweets. So
she was done before she started.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to clean it up.
I mean, she's doing shows now and people are going, but it's like the shows she's doing, if you look at it, those are the type of shows you can go to for free she's charging people, which is gross, but, like, the size and the quality of it, like, she's one of those people who's going on tour that has no business going on tour.
Yeah,
like, she's
100%.
Doing, like, 7 cities. What are you doing?
She's doing, like, show, like, little show dates, right? So who
yeah,
else?
Yeah, she's,
no,
she's, like, in multiple states.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, she's in Texas. She's doing, like, Seattle. And I'm like, by the time you get to the third location, no one's going to fuck with you no more. And it sucks.
I
mean, I thought she's talented. She's actually talented because I've seen her function. She produces all of her shit, whatever. And have you blow up off of you fucking around one night. But again, if you feel like you're getting heat, you need to get into that Twitter box and clear that up because you don't want to lose your whole shit.
That's Auntie Chantel's advice. If you are planning to think you're going to be anyone, anywhere, just matter of fact, maybe we should all do it as a family. Let's just go and go clean out our Twitter. We
I deleted my Twitter, yo. I put my shit on ice because I was like, cause I'm doing other things. And I was like, you know what? I realized that that's a good 8 years worth of shit that I can't account for. I don't know what I was saying. A good 2 years of my Twitter was spent getting divorced. So I have no concept of what horrifying nonsense I was saying on that. I have an idea, but I don't know specifically what I said. And I bet you there's a good 3 months worth of tweets you can get me out the paint for if you really wanted to.
Yeah, we got to get
that
out of here.
We're all in a bubble, too, because we all feel like there's certain things you can do and say that's acceptable, and then once you're in the wider world, you're like, oh, Jesus, okay, that's not cool. That's not acceptable to say. That's not even funny, and you can't – it's a joke. Because whatever the reason, that particular rule that Donald Trump and those guys operate by where words don't mean anything – does not apply to everybody else.
Nope.
But let me give my other two. So I said Vic Mensa because I feel like Vic Mensa's never going to blow up. But I feel like if you are an old head, you're over 30.
Wait a minute.
Feel like
you're talking about Vic Mensa's not going to blow up. He opened up for Jay-Z for the 444 tour.
No, when I say blow up, I'm saying like this Vic Mensa. When I say blow up, I'm thinking in the oldest sense of the term. Like this,
also,
Vic Mensa's never going to be like, huh?
Have you seen him?
Have I seen him live?
Have you seen what he looks like?
Yes.
Yeah, Vic Mensa's fine. He just might blow up.
Yeah,
he just might.
Vic Mensa,
I'm just saying.
Look, him and Katrinon that had this joint, his name I can't recall, great. He knows how to operate in both sides of the field. I think that he's got great lines. He seems to operate on different beats in different spaces really, really good. And again, I don't check for dudes like that, but if someone said he was out and on thing, I would get it.
Yeah, no, I think Vic Mensa's physical. He's one of the better looking gentlemen in this class.
Wait, is Vic Mensa on Wild It Out?
Is he?
I don't know. I don't watch Wild It Out. Believe it or not, gives me anxiety. It's one of the few things in the world that gives me anxiety. And it is
why?
Big, Wild It Out. There's just a whole bunch of dudes on stage. Like, I don't know what the purpose of it is. Like, they're just up on stage and they're playing games, but they're not doing it for money. It's just like, it's almost like everyone's is getting ready to go somewhere, but there's no real destination in sight. Anxiety is not the right word, but it perturbs me.
Ah.
Yeah, it perturbs me. I'm like, why is everyone up on stage? Everyone's wearing different shirts, and then Nick Cannon's there, and I'm like, Nick Cannon's looks young because he's hanging with young people, and you realize he was like older dude. He's like in his 40s, right?
No, he's about to be 40, if I'm not mistaken.
Is he 79?
Mm-hmm.
I think you need, because I just looked up Vic Mensa again. You're going to have to Google Vic Mensa, my friend.
Oh.
I think you need to Google him up because I think that you've mistaken him with somebody else because he does not look fine. You have to do it now. You can do it another time. It's fine. But I will say, thank you so much to close out now. Appreciate it. If anybody wants to know what me and her talk about.
Oh, no. I know what I'm talking about. I know. I'm talking about the light-skinned shorty from Chicago. I know exactly what I'm
from Chicago,
talking
right?
You're talking about.
I don't know, bro.
You're not talking about the same person. Vic Mensa is from Chicago. He has Southside tattoos.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll have another conversation.
Yeah. You should probably do a poll.
I will put up a poll tomorrow. Nick Cannon's not even 40. Nick Cannon's he's 38.
Yeah, Nick Cannon's on the kill list too. I mean, if we're being honest.
Since
we're here.
You would give Nick because all right, you know what? I got 5 minutes to spare. Explain why Nick Cannon's on the kill list.
I was listening to a podcast, and somebody said Nick Cannon must be the goose with the golden dick, because Nick Cannon's physical presentation gives me the energy like he'd give you a good time. And the
you
fact
see
that
him on a
has,
level, so he's giving you them. I got pipes. Like he give you, he can give you your pipes a good cleaning.
And he's so cool with people thinking he's corny that he's probably the biggest killer in Hollywood and nobody would ever know. And I like that.
But didn't he crush, isn't that what the beef was, that he crushed Kim Kardashian?
Well, he was dating her.
Wait, I did not know that. Wait a second.
Yes.
So you're trying to tell me that when what's his name was hitting it first, she was dating Nick Cannon at the time?
No, after she broke up with him, she was dating Nick Cannon. And
yeah.
They,
oh, that you found out about it. Okay, so
when Ray J hit it first,
yep.
And then Nick Cannon they were dating,
and
when
he
found
out
about the tape, and he was just like, "All right, bye."
That's back when people didn't fuck with people because they had sex tapes. That was so long ago, if you think about it. Also, that's a trash sex tape.
It's the worst thing.
It really
ever seen
is
in my
a
life.
Trash sex tape. It's just trash. It should be lit. Right? You think about it, oh, we got her on camera, like, oh, shit, it's lit. It ain't lit. It looks like the sex you have when you've been working all day and you're just trying to get one in before you go to sleep.
Well, the only
it's married people
lit
sex.
We're seeing that Ray J is like a built like a footstool. Like, he's like very well endowed for somebody who is so small. But aside from that,
he's
going
to refer to niggas meat. So, what did he. Yeah.
Isn't that my job in this conversation?
I guess.
Okay.
Because her box looked trash. Not going to lie. Her box looked like pure trash. But Pamela Anderson, thank you, Black. Pamela Anderson's sex tape was lit just because it was the first one I ever seen. A, she was getting slayed.
Well, that's because
and
Tommy Lee was out here with the ill kibasa.
But he was working her shit on a boat, B, on a fucking steering wheel.
Well,
like slaying that box. Did she have the Hep C at the Hep B at that point, or Hep A, or whatever Hep she's got?
No.
I know she's got some. She's got one of the Heps.
Yes, she does.
But that wasn't transfer, so Hep B. Here we go. In terms of sex tapes, I don't know how we got the sex tape. It's fine. We can learn. It's obviously the Johnny Blaze sex tape. I thought was okay. Everyone said it was trash, but I liked the fact that it felt very escortish, and it's something in my. Deep within my soul that finds that attractive. Seemed very pay-for-play-ish. What other ones were out there? That was back in the day.
Paris Hilton, did you watch that one? Didn't she do it up
I found that to be my first real insight in what it must have felt like to be a rich young person.
Mm.
Because everything they were doing in that tape seemed boring.
Yeah.
But like boring in a, like, you know, just like they were doing it, she was staring at the camera. The guy was, like, delivering thunderous back shots, but only because he liked the way it sounded on tape. She was giving the white lady blowjob with the two hands, head to the fucking belly. You know, the weird blowjob you do when it's like you're praying.
Oh, okay.
But I've never had a black chick do that blowjob before, the one where they're, like, praying to it.
What's that?
They're usually doing, like, the Machine Gun Kelly, or they're doing the playing the flute. That one. I don't do the with it praying to it with the head in. But yeah, she got them all. That was a pretty good one. But yeah, you know, let me see. Just like Terry Gross talking about blowjobs, lit.
This is great.
That's the other one. Yeah, that's the other one. What's the other one? The other thing too is we're giving the agency back after the first conversation. The agency is now being restored to who it actually belongs to. What's the other one? China. I watched the China one on the day that she passed away out of respect.
Oh, my God. You are a pig. Did you watch Mr.
out of respect,
Marcus?
Out of
did
respect,
you watch Mr.
Joni
Marcus
Lawa.
And Mr. Marcus and Corinne
like
Stephens?
I didn't like it. Because the thing is, watching somebody get a blowjob does nothing for me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I just wanted to see what was the skill set that she was delivering, but I got it as soon as I saw what she was up to. I'm like, okay, you're going full throated, no pun intended.
Yeah, she's going for the full money,
yeah,
covering the whole meat. She's doing the hand, just duet. Like, he's giving you the, you know, when you go get your car wash and you're rich, so you get the top mm-hmm. one as opposed to the one that normal people get, which is the bottom
yeah.
or the second one.
But you
get
know
the top
what
she one,
said
you're
about
Fuji
Rap, right? That he used to make her suck his dick until she vomited.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's so
unfortunate. Some Corona. Corona people are terrible.
Well,
but you know what?
Shout
let
out
me know
to
that's true, because it'll come out that she's a fucking nut. I mean, even though it's so weird to have this conversation after the first one, but we know that she's not well. Now, this is an
yeah,
honest
but
question.
She's definitely had, you know, like her, I think her stories were I think sort of kind of. I don't know. I wasn't there.
But no, the chick that DJ Polo.
She said that Jay-Z made her blow him with a condom on, which I thought was hilarious.
Would you? If I meet somebody and that's what they're known for, I'm assuming that you, if you're known for a thing, you've been doing it a bunch.
Aww.
People who don't get put on condoms or blowjobs of randos deserve everything they get. And
okay.
we're gonna leave that at that. But I feel on some level, giving head to somebody is not magic. The AIDS doesn't stay away. That's the thing that we need to learn on the show. The first part is obviously going to be very information-driven. The back part I'm seeing is going to be more personality-driven. I don't like AIDS. I don't like HIV. Not a fan of it. You know, the only thing I hate more than that is Duke black men on horses. Not a fan of that shit either. But as a fact, that's not even me making shit up. I'm not a fan of it. It makes me uncomfortable. Like, anytime I think about it, I think of Gia, and they picked her up off that bed, and, like, her whole back was still on the bed. No, 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 no. Wrap it up, bro. Especially if your name is Superhead. What the fuck? What are you expecting?
Yeah.
Jay-Z's a real nigga. That's why he's the only nigga still in the game right now. He's the only nigga still in the game. Jay-Z's career is big as Noriega's teeth. Word born.
Oh, no. I didn't realize how big they were until he smiled the other day.
Them shit is like, huge. Those are like, you know, like in the cartoons, they put the fake teeth in their mouth and go, oh, my name is Herman. Like, they look big like that.
Yeah.
Like, huge. Why are they so big that he just, like, couldn't afford the real
veneers? Well, it's just time for him to get the next set of veneers. That's all. That's all.
But he's not going to, and he's eating, too, so he's constantly opening his mouth to eat food.
No,
oh,
I just think he'll get there.
So, Liz, would Action Bronson be after 10?
Came around then, like with Joel Ortiz, right?
Oh,
I
Joel
like
Ortiz
those...
was so good to me. Like, I
he
felt
still
Joel
is
Ortiz...
good.
Like, he was
what
solid
the...
work. Huh?
What about the dark-skinned boy from Brooklyn, the skinny one who's on Mr. Robot? I don't think anybody cares about him anymore.
I don't watch the shows. So I wouldn't know.
No, but he's the rap Joey Badass.
I only like one of his songs, Waves. Waves is good. That's only because I like the beat off of False Prophet. If you do it back to back in a bar, people get mad at you because they think it's the same song.
Well, one thing that's not, he's not 2010, but what do you think about Wale talking about retiring?
Wale, for me, began and end with those Seinfeld tapes.
Oh, okay.
That's how, I mean, I like Wale. I had no issue with Wale, but I felt like Wale, to me, the game got to him, and, like, he had space to do a thing, and he never really, like, transcended his mixtape roots. He's, like, a huge sign of that time. He's King Dat Piff to me.
Okay.
He's
valid.
Lord Dat Piff of Dat Piff Manor, because I think he
of
was
DC.
Really good. He
yeah.
really had it going on, but I think he never transcended that space.
He had a really good song last year with G-Eazy that had, like, a real ill beat that was definitely would have had that opportunity. But I don't know if they're not working him or something. I don't know what the deal is. But he seems really bummed
out. I mean, it's just
Twitter.
Him and Jay Electronica and all those dudes from that time period where it was, like, a lot of – like, right in that soft spot between the garbage of 2000, but then the trap of 2015 and up, where people were constantly, you know, the all like Charles Hamilton, that whole timeline. But that was a cool time for me because that was the closest to, like, our time where people would get – because remember Charles Hamilton got punched in the face by this chick and then he was out to paint?
Yeah.
Or because DJ House Shoes says he was gonna give that nigga to work next time he saw him. And that was it for him. He was fucking gone. It was a wrap for that nigga. And that was back then where someone would just say something flat out in public and you ain't had shit to say, you was fucking done. There was no back talk, no conversation, you were fucking done because it was no longer about money. These niggas wasn't making any money. But these niggas wasn't drug dealers either. They were just hip-hop artists. So if you caught a fade, like a girl clapping you on fucking camera, that was
I'm
it.
Sorry about hitting him. My bad. I shouldn't have hit him, right?
Oh, that was you?
That was.
That would have been funny if it was. Because she had said some shit. Did you see the video?
No.
Oh, I got to put the video up. Because the girl makes a face where you could tell it's about to fucking go down. And he's like, oh, it's lit. It's fine. You know, it's fine. It is what it is. And he chaps him in the face, and he kind of spins around, and he tries to laugh it off. But then the streets, that was back when Twitter was really the beginning, middle, and everything for a nigga. And Twitter turned on him, and that was it. And I thought he was good. A lot of those dudes were good. Wiz Khalifa came up in that timeline.
Well, you
what
have 4 minutes left on your show, so you have to do
I'm
like
a wrap
up. I'm
going to let you roll.
I'm
going to give everyone to wrap up. It's been a pleasure.
I'm sorry that everyone just had to be subjected to listening to what you and I do every single day.
No, no. I think that's what people need. These streets need this conversation because they have to be subjected to such nonsensical conversation. Also, we needed to tell them it's not all that first half. The first half, that's a really good scene. Again, that was not my idea, but that's a really good idea. To do the first half, be very in-depth. At the dinner, and then we give them some dessert, which is the personal, normal-sized podcast with the little thing to drive it. So thank
we
you.
We learned that
Chantel
wants to give Nick Cannon some box.
The
box.
The
first
box.
Chance.
Let me knock the door right now and says, you waited a while out. You was at the hotel right over by the Burger King, right by the conduit.
Oh, no.
Busting open like a goon. And also, you got to hear, we got busting open like a real goon. Get one of those Domino pizza hotel cards that they give you. Open the door. You know you're living foul when you call that number. You live a real foul when you need that
to those
number.
Places, you know.
They do, and they do, and it's sad. It's sad for them delivering it, and it's sad for you getting it. You get to the door, and they give you the pizza, and you're like, oh, you take card. And then they got to call the dude, and they put it in, and then you're eating Domino's pizza in a creep telly, and you just kind of think that, ugh, what a No, that's not good.
No, I'm like, wait, tell me more. I didn't use cards at that time, so you've been there much more recently than I. Keep talking. All right, you want to go? Okay.
What?
Bye.
And this is a signal, sir. But yeah, I was just like, I know the last time I was fucking there, they give you the card and have a little Domino pizza thing on, and you go in and then you do a Bible study and then you call the pizza place and they bring you the it's been a wonderful, pleasurable experience, Chantel. I will talk to you tomorrow normally.
Things like that drive me out of my
mind. Okay, everybody, it's been great. We're doing every Tuesday, 9 o'clock.
I watched it for a little while.
1 second.
I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love.
Hello, everybody. Have a great day. You guys here 9 o'clock, 9 and 10:30 every week. Next week, I don't know what we're going to be talking about next yet, except the Twitter, which is theblacknprpod.com. On Twitter, blacknpr. That is blacknpr@outlook.com. Again, pregame radio, I Pray Where, We Production. 100%. No, hold on. Give me a second. This is a particular joint. I want to close this bad boy out. But I want to make sure that you hear everything we have to say. Good. You have been awesome. Thanks to Ernie. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to David Brad. Thanks to Chantel Branch. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Brooklyn Black and the pregame radio family. Hope to hear from you guys next week. Again, we're done. First show in the can. Later, guys.